It is almost time once again to see kids in costume roaming the neighborhood streets with bags and plastic pumpkins collecting candy. I always hope for chocolate. And then parents worry about the kids sugaring up before bed, and often we try to ration the candy in the days after Halloween. But as Bonnie Rockman, contributor for the Wall Street Journal, reports, most doctors and dentists don't necessarily worry so much about one sweet holiday. It's the rest of the year that concerns them. With a very sweet discussion on sugar, Bonnie joins us now. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Mary Beth. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk with, I guess it's an unproven condition that most parents say absolutely exists, but the sugar high that we think our kids are all hopped up after Halloween, that they've devoured all this stuff, but it's never really been proven that it does this to our kids, right?
That's what I learned in the course of my research. It certainly, any parent, any preschool teacher, any elementary school teacher will swear that the sugar high exists, but apparently there does not appear to be actual documented evidence of that.
Let's talk then about what there is documented evidence about sugar, and it can lead to all sorts of issues health-wise, for your teeth. So I know you did a lot of research. Let's talk about sort of the big issues facing Americans and kids these days with sugar.
Sure. Well, so, you know, sugar can lead to cavities, right? Too much of it. The bacteria attack the sugar, and then they can cause holes in teeth. So dentists are concerned about kids eating candy, lots of it, over the course of a long period of time. And one thing they say to do is to, if you're going to let your kids eat their candy, you should have them do it at mealtimes. Because if you have them, if you give it to them as a snack at, say, at 3 in the afternoon when they're not eating anything else, and you say, oh, here you go, Junior, take your Snickers bar, the sugar just kind of hangs out there. But if you're giving it to them after dinner or immediately after lunch, they're probably already eating carbohydrates, which turn into sugar, and other sugars as part of the meal. So it's you're just clustering the sugar all together as opposed to giving up an infusion of it in the middle of the day.
So they also recommend sort of removing some of the sticky stuff too, right?
Yeah, right, which that was very hard for me to hear that milk duds are not good. gummy bears, milk duds, any kind of caramel, anything that's sticky and gooey is really something that you should try to sneak from your kid's trick-or-treat bag. What is, I won't say good, but what is better as far as teeth go, plain chocolate, because it just melts away and it doesn't get wedged into crevices.
Oh, good. I'll have to leave some for the kids then. One thing I found interesting is that children may be more partial than adults to sugar because of the way their taste buds are clustered.
Yeah, that was news to me as well. Right. So when a child has the same amount of taste buds as an adult, but their tongues are much smaller. So flavors are more intense for kids. So that's why that's one theory why they may like sugar a lot more, because it just the sweetness, the intensity is much greater. And likewise, something like Brussels sprouts may just be unbearably bitter to them. So that's why they may steer clear of sour foods.
You talked with, I think, one mother who said she does a buyback program with her kids.
Yes, I talked to several moms. I was unfortunately able to include only a few, but there is a lot of buybacks. A lot of buyback stuff going on. It goes by several names. So there is, I heard about the Great Pumpkin. I heard about the Switch Witch, and a couple other names that definitely were pretty amusing. But the idea is the same, no matter what you call it. You tell your kids, if you're a nice mom, that they can pick out a couple of candies that they can't do without. And then you tell them to put the rest of their candy in a bag on the porch next to their jack-o'-lantern, if you have one. And you let them know that in the morning there's going to be a present there and the candy is going to be gone. And apparently it works like a charm. So you trade candy for a present.
At the end of doing all your research and talking with doctors and dentists and parents and researchers, what do you walk away with your thoughts about sugar and candy and even carbohydrates? I'll just throw that in there too.
Well, you know, I have three kids of my own, and they were pretty devastated to learn that I was writing this story. So I'm not a switch witch kind of mom, because I love the candy myself. But what I did take away from this is I'm not going to just let them munch on it whenever they want. I think I'm going to do a better job of rationing it than I have in the past. So I think we'll go through, we'll pick out favorites, more than just, you know, two or three. But it's going to be the kind of thing where I'll say, okay, you can have one mini Three Musketeers after dinner, as opposed to just not paying as much attention, which is what I've done in the past.
So it sounds like this is going to be the Halloween of moderation in your house.
Yeah, we'll see. They don't know that yet, but they're about to find out.
All right, good luck with that. Bonnie Rockman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.